You have heard that it was said, but I say to you, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today's gospel is taken from the Sermon on the Mount. Our Lord, see him there, teaching with authority. You have heard that it was said, but I say to you. God is always calling us back to the truth. That's the point of the Ten Commandments. Saint Paul says they were engraven first upon the heart before ever upon the stone for Moses, so that those who offend must have very stony hearts indeed, and they have no excuse. And offend they did since the beginning, sinking into immorality, cruelty, and impurity, the forgetfulness of God. But Jesus came, and he is the teacher of mankind. And if there's any good news, if there's any gospel this weekend, it is that God does not abandon his works when they abandon him. Thanks be to God. No, he became man to seek us. He took a true human nature like ours in all things save sin, remember, to teach us. And the incarnation, revelation, the divine teaching from heaven, infallible teaching authority, magisterium, given to the church he established, just one. The pillar and the ground of truth, Scripture says. Nor is this all. He teaches us. And if there's a teacher, who's the student? We're meant to be the students. We're meant to listen and to respond and to remember. He gives us the grace, though, as no other teacher ever could, along with the instruction. The lesson we first see, or are meant to see, is in the creation all about us. If even the pagans, the Greeks and the Romans, were guilty for never getting it, for never discovering God in the book of nature and in their own hearts, how guilty must modern man be in the West, in what was Christendom? Surely we deserve to have the book thrown at us, the countenance of the Lord on them that do evil things. The Supreme Court is supremely courting our country's destruction by getting involved in a matter which is none of their concern or competence, the abolition of natural marriage. How did we end up there? And think that Cincinnati, the city once so conservative and German and Catholic, played a key role in the final act. The large painting that greets you when you enter the vestibule of our church, kindly donated to us years ago, I think it once hung in one of the archdiocesan seminaries. That painting is the Sermon on the Mount. Do you remember what happened to it the last year or so? I don't know how old it is, but with time it had grown taut, dry, and cracked with age. And one day, somebody, I don't know if it was a child or an adult, somebody took a poke at it, and then another, just one finger. Who could resist? Especially once the first hole appeared. Plenty of opportunity, and nobody around to protect it. Eventually, we had to take it down, and thank God for local talent, which was able to restore the canvas. Else, we would have lost the painting. 50 years ago, for all practical purposes, we lost the church. And now, our country, for all of its faults, it is our country. How keenly we should feel this, and we must wonder, how did we get to this point? Oh, it's a long, long journey. And it has nothing to do with the clear will of the majority of Americans, as some conservatives say, or the democratic process, and actually everything to do with flawed foundations, cracked from the start, on which our country was built. And this is an insight of Bishop Sanborn, an intrinsic and very serious weakness in the American system. Not just Patrick Henry feared this, that Washington could impose its judicial decisions on the states. There was something else, and it was only a question of time and tautness for the rips to appear. All dried out. Nobody to defend it. First one little poke, and then another. And the unthinkable becomes the unstoppable, and finally, the irresistible force. Oppose it and be crushed. Liberalism is the culprit. And as the book, the title of the book says, and it is true, liberalism is a sin. The sin which did us in. Liberalism, it means technically two things. First, absolute freedom of thought. And with regard to the state, that the state should be separated from the church and not subject to her and her truth. And this, of course, is a heresy. In liberalism, you are free to think whatever you want to think, and there are no restrictions. Supposedly, it's only a matter of thought, so what's the problem, as long as you don't bother other people? But the Jesuit who wrote Liberalism is a Sin said, whoever thinks what he pleases will do what he pleases. Liberalism leads to license, and sooner or later, to law. But the church teaches the opposite of free thought, which is why she alone can guarantee our freedom. Man's intellect is his highest faculty. We are obliged to know and to profess objective truth, whether we like it or not. Our Lord has revealed religion to us. We are obliged to believe in it and to do all in our power that others do so as well. Where does liberalism come from? Well, it has sort of a philosophical start. It starts in England with a Franciscan friar, if you will. Do you remember how St. Francis wasn't keen at all on book learning for his friars? Perhaps he had some inkling of what would come. William of Ockham, Oxford, taught a system which would be called nominalism, that we can't really know the natures of things, that nature is hidden from us. We just know individuals, and we just give these individuals names. This corrupt philosophy got to be very popular and profoundly affected a certain Augustinian friar Martin Luther. And he took it, and with it he turned to religion and to sacred scripture. His main doctrine, private interpretation: you read the Bible, and I will read the Bible, and the Holy Ghost will inspire us both, and never mind if we differ as to its meaning. You don't need a church, and you don't need a pope, and you don't need dogmas. Well, of course, what does that lead to? That there is no truth at all. Supposedly, by God's design, everybody contradicts everybody else. The Germans have a reputation for being supremely logical. They soon got tired of this. And by the time of the so-called Enlightenment, many of them had given up religion for rationalism. They would stick with objective physical facts, material truths, science, they would call it. But of course, that's a religion too. You have the gospel of global warming today in that tradition. Everything becomes unmoored from reality, subjective and personal, total freedom of thought. The 18th century Enlightenment sees religion, this mass of disagreeing subjective feelings, severed from the state, and eventually religion subject to the state. Laws, the leaders of the Enlightenment, the Freemasons, the Deists, the Protestants, the Founding Fathers, laws must reflect not religion but reason and philosophy. There's no original sin to hold us back. There's nothing that could dim man's intellect. Man has no limits. Go for it. Figure it out on your own, and you'll do just fine. Now, at that time, the time of the foundation of our country, the 18th century, there was still some idea of the natural law left over, of Catholic moral teaching that was still present in the world, but there were no longer moral absolutes. We were back then, you might say, going on fumes. And the fumes came from the engine of the Catholic car. But eventually, that stopped. When push came to shove on the great issues of morality, there was no resistance at all. Our Constitution makes no reference to natural law, or to Almighty God, for that matter. Madison, one of the framers, he was asked by someone once, "Why didn't you put God in the Constitution?" "We forgot," was his flip answer. They made a God for us of false freedoms. Man may forget, but the devil remembers. They rejected the natural law, which alone can be the basis of morality and of law and of freedom, because it alone is based on objective, unchanging truth. Is it true that ours is a dogma-free society and world today? Well, not if you look at the church. If you find Catholics, you will find still those who hear the voice which is imposed upon us, revealed truth. There are dogmas we hold to be true, to which we submit. But what about liberalism? What do they do with dogma? The so-called freedom of thought is ultimately the devil's response to God. "I will not serve, but you will serve. You follow that, and you will find yourself fast in the chains of slavery." The only question is, whom will you serve, God or Satan, who is the father of lies? Look where those lies take us now. Liberalism, if consistent, this came out when the Supreme Court justices were discussing the matter with the lawyers, and the justice who would write the majority opinion, Justice Kennedy, observed, well, if we go this route, what's to stop us from, say, polygamy? And of course, nothing at all. Every moral aberration now becomes feasible. They call it the right to privacy, abortion, 50 million. Soon we will meet the number of those killed in the last century under Stalin and Hitler and Mao Zedong. The right to privacy, they call it, which leads to no privacy at all, to government spying and thought police in the enforced acceptance of a new morality. A headline caught my eye this morning. In effect, Mr. Obama said on Friday, if you like your religion, you can keep it. Thank you very much. We know how much that is worth. He said the same thing about insurance and your doctor. Happy Independence Day come Saturday or not. You see where our independence has gotten us. Independent of church and of dogma and of God, of nature and of nature's God. And now, independent of the last shreds of morality, a curse for our country and no blessing, for the countenance of the Lord is upon them that do evil things. Maybe it is time for us to celebrate a dependence day. I depend upon my Lord and King Jesus Christ. I depend upon the infallible teaching of the church which he founded to guide me to heaven. I willingly incline my intellect to his truths revealed, and I direct my will and my life to follow him. There are so many voices speaking to us with authority. You have heard that it was said, but I say to you, God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.